Hi, and welcome to Ally Spotlight, hosted by me, Andrew Milne.
And me, Sarah Erdmash.
We'll be talking to guests about how they're working towards making the world a more diverse, equal and inclusive place through allyship.
Hi, Shell. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
We're looking forward to our chat. Before we get started, it'd be really great if you could introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them a bit about who you are and why you're here.
So my name is Shell Mendelson, and I am an ADHD career coach. My entire career has been helping other people make decisions about what career they should choose and what would be the right fit, and primarily based on fulfillment, satisfaction, and sustainability. And I started working, without going too far back, my own experience in my 20s was getting my bachelor's degree, not getting a job, getting a teaching credential, no work there, and then doing a legal secretarial and getting fired from about 10 different secretarial jobs, which anybody who knows me would be laughing, thinking that I would even attempt to do that. But I had great skills, so of course I always got hired, and you know how great we are in interviews, right? We can get any job. We know what to say. We can get the job, but keeping the job, that's something else. So after finally realizing that I was lost, you know, I was lost in my 20s, and I had a boyfriend who was applying to all the top notch law schools, and he was neurotypical, and I was always like, how do you do this? You know, how do you keep these routines? How do you sit down and do these applications? How do you make this happen for you? And he was so methodical. I mean, I was like always in awe. And I remember him sitting down with me and looking at me and just saying, what do you really want to do with your life and your career? I mean, it was such a simple question. But how many people can actually answer that question? And for me, it was like an instant blinding flash of the obvious. I don't know if you've ever heard that term, the BFO, blinding flash of the obvious, was that I wanted to help people. I wanted to do something in the helping professions. And so I thought, well, the only way I could do that was apply to a counseling program. So I applied to a counseling program, and I was lucky enough to get into a specialized area called vocational rehabilitation, which vocational meant that you help people with disabilities find jobs or get people who could no longer do the work that they were doing. I worked in the workers' comp system because they were injured on the job, find things that they could do within their limitations. And interests were kind of last on the list. So I remember I spent 10 years doing that. And because it was such a, finally, I was such a rock star in what I did after I got my degree and internship, the internship hired me. I went from being fired from all these jobs to being a rock star because I was finally doing something I really enjoyed or something that I knew was a better fit for me. And which is all it takes really to do a better job is to really enjoy what you're doing with our brain wiring. And after 10 years of working in that system, I just couldn't handle it anymore because it was so adversarial. And people were coming to me because they were injured, not because they really wanted to. And so I ended up getting training with Richard Bowles, who wrote the book, What Color Is Your Parachute?, which is the manual. He's kind of the grandfather of career counseling. He died in 2017. He was my mentor. He was the guy I admired. I always agreed with and completely related to everything. At every convention, he'd be the guest speaker, and he would be the only one I'd want to hear. And so when I got the training with him, I got to, you know, speak with him off and on throughout the years, even though he was incredibly busy, and I felt very fortunate. And I was able to use that process that I learned with him to work with other people, the parachute process. And it was very successful. And I was undiagnosed this whole time. I wasn't formally diagnosed until 15 years ago. And I am older than the gentleman you had on before. I mean, I was an older person, right? When that happened. And so even though I was in the right, on the right career path doing this work, it wasn't until I decided I was going to start a company, and I started a franchise system called KidStart. And it wasn't until I did that, I did it because it was just something I felt needed to get done. It was art programs for children. And we were very successful. We were in 39 states and 15 countries and doing actually very well. But I began the day-to-day, never tell a founder to run the company. Don't ever expect that. Founders should not be running companies, especially those with ADHD. I was still undiagnosed, and I had such horrible experiences after we were running the company, and that was what led me to get my diagnosis. And as soon as I went back to doing the work I'm doing now, my whole life, it was like, oh, you know, the seas had parted and everything was much better, and I felt relief. And so then I went back to doing the parachute work. But then when I got my diagnosis, I learned very quickly that I needed to be working exclusively with ADHD adults, who I really now understood what they must be going through, because I've had the experience of having gone through it big time. And I crashed and burned with the company, got out of that situation. But it was a big lesson that I learned that I can impart to my current clients, the people that I work with now. So I worked individually for several years until I finally realized I need to start working with small groups of people so that they can form a community between themselves. So I created this masterclass called the Your Next Career Move Masterclass, which I've been doing for 3.5 years. Straight, and it's been very successful, and build classes, great results, people making career shifts and helping each other as well, and people staying connected with each other. I just talked to somebody today who's still connected with her class of several months ago. So it's a wonderful process. So I decided that I needed to have the workbook that actually followed the process I was doing. And that's when I decided it's time to put something out there for the rest of the world who can't afford. Not everyone can afford the masterclass, but they can afford the book to get started. This gives you the step-by-step process. So that's a little bit about me. Is that too much about me?
No, not at all. I was going to say within the first few sentences, like you said, I identified with pretty much everything that you're going through, like career wise, kind of like, I mean, Sarah will attest to this. Like, what was our conversation yesterday? Like, Sarah, I'm going to train to be a coder. It's like, where's this come from? Why did you want to be a coder? And it was just something I'd looked at recently. And so it's these sort of whims and then getting qualifications, but never really doing much with them. And kind of whenever people ask me, you know, what do you want to do with your career? And I'm just like, what's a career? Like, I can't make this decision, like so much pressure to do something to do. And also in true ADHD style, you've answered three questions in the one question that we asked you anyway. So I just think it's efficiency it's like a whirlwind of efficiency. And I'm finding myself going off in tangent now. So I'm going to pull myself back and ask, what are the common prejudices that somebody with ADHD would face in the workplace? Or, you know, even having the ADHD diagnosis, what are the negative sides that you've experienced so far?
Well, gosh, that's such a big question, because people with ADHD, if they're you're talking about the people that are actually diagnosed with ADHD, I don't always recommend they tell their employers that they have it. And the reason being that it doesn't take them to a better place. It doesn't get them the accommodations they need. So I've developed what's called the self-accommodation plan, where as much as you can do on your own, you create your own plan by knowing what you need, but you have to really break it down and break it down and break it down. It's not some pre-scripted kind of thing that we have here called the Americans for Disabilities Act. That doesn't do it for people with ADHD. It's fine for people with physical disabilities, but with the ADHD part of it, it generally doesn't even come close to covering what's needed. So the more you know about yourself, so I want people to feel confident and strong and empowered, if you want to call it that, to know exactly what they need so they can have these conversations and maybe work things out with their employer, knowing exactly what they need and being able to target those things, some things they can get, maybe some things they can't. And then they know whether or not this is sufficient for them. And if it's not, that they're in the wrong job. You know, a lot of times people, the reason they're unhappy and miserable, it's not them. It's not their ADHD. They're just in the wrong job.
Yeah.
But with people, the thing with ADHD is people, and you know this, you know exactly what I'm saying. People with ADHD who are in the wrong job experience way more difficulties in terms of overcoming. If you're bored with what you're doing, if you're not enjoying the work, if it's unfulfilling, it has no purpose to you. And purpose is a big one, is it not?
It's absolutely right. Again, what you're saying is really so true, because if I don't enjoy what I'm doing, then I don't want to, you know, liken it to torture, but mentally it's draining, it's, and I can't get around to it. And then it becomes a whirlwind of self-fulfilling prophecy, because I just can't do it.
Exactly.
Therefore, I loathe myself for not being able to do it. And it's like, why can't I do it? And then you just become a little ball of negativity. And, you know, I'm looking for a job at the moment, like, own little self plug there. But it's a case of people say to me, you know, you got to sit down and spend 6 hours a day looking for a job. Like, I've just had this conversation with somebody. That's why it's fresh in my mind. And I was like, fudge, I can't do that. That's mental. But again, because I've been quite fortunate in my previous roles, by which I could kind of have the freedom to be creative and do stuff. And I was changing roles over the, you know, every so often, it's like rotation. So I've not been, I'm fortunate enough to not be in that position where I haven't been able to excel at work. But now it is re-entering that workspace. And I understand, I'm kind of, you know, becoming a bit more attuned to what people who haven't been as fortunate as I have are going through at the moment. So, you know, every bit is ringing true. And Sarah, what's it like to work with me?
Well, I think it's really interesting to go back to what Shell was saying about working with people with ADHD to empower you to know what you need and how to ask for that, and to basically take control of your life at work is just amazing. It's a really interesting
new concept. How about that? I actually know what I need, and I know what I want, and I can articulate that. That's like a concept that people can't grasp, because most people, even neurotypical people, don't have that. They can't have that conversation, because it's like, well, I don't like this, and you're just so disempowered, and you lose confidence because you're getting called on the carpet and you're making little mistakes and they're calling you out for whatever reason. You know, that is really demeaning, deflating, and it's after a while being in this position. The person I just talked to, a follow-up call with somebody from my class, she just took a leave. She got an actual medical leave from being in a job that was completely soul-crushing in every way, shape, and form. And with ADHD, we take so much more to heart. We're people pleasers. We want, and we have that, we need to express our creativity. We need to have flexibility. There's so many things that we need to, in order just to get the job done well. And can you imagine when you're in a job that you really love with ADHD, a lot of those characteristics that people try and tell us that we have almost go away, because now we're just so tuned into it. We enjoy it. We can be more productive. We can, we're more fulfilled. We're calmer. We're getting things done. It's just a whole different element when you finally understand what it is that you need and want in your work, and you get there. And it's not always 100%, but it's a, I always say, if you start out 65% of what you want, think about what a difference that is from where you were before, which is often like maybe 5 or 10%. So it's, and then to work up to getting closer to what it is that you want. So the self-accommodation plan becomes very, very important for people to have and to break down.
I think as a leader as well, it's really, really useful. You have somebody that comes to you and says, this is who I am. This is what I need.
Yes.
And kind of some cause and effect. You've got a blueprint. You say, brilliant. Okay, I understand. I understand this. I know what you need. I will go out. I will accommodate all of these things if you're a half decent leader, one would hope.
I have to say this. I love to hear this because it is a win-win situation for the employer. I mean, how often do employers sit across the desk for someone they're interviewing who know what they want when they walk in? They really know it. And they know they've targeted you as the company they want to work for. They know they can tell you why and express that. They've looked at the role and said, this role seems to have ticked all the boxes that I'm looking for. So it's more about what the employee, how would that sound to you? Doesn't that sound like a person that you want to woo to get the job?
You know, absolutely. Yeah. You do want somebody that knows their mind, that's decisive, that owns things, that's accountable for themselves and people around them. So that would be great.
It's a win-win.
From my point of view, I think I've been most successful when I've been told, look, this is our goal, here are the tools, make it happen. Because, you know, once I know their vision, then I can make it happen.
But you need to know the tools. What are the tools? You need to know what those tools are that you need to succeed. So when you walk in saying, I've got these tools that I'm aware, you know, that I can use to help me. And this is how I get these things done. And when I am in this environment, when I have, like, some people can't work. A lot of people don't like working in cubicles, right? They need an office. I need an office. I need a door that closes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, being able to actually confidently say that and watching for how that is responded to, because it's not like everyone needs an office. Some people are fine in that environment, but if a person who's a quality person walks in, they know what they want and they have the goods to back it up. Right. And so that is something, usually what happens is the employer is going to, from my experience, is the employer wants to do everything they can to make you happy or to convince you to come on board, because you're an asset. You're going to make money for them.
Yeah.
You're going to be the person who's going to be productive and, you know, be a good coworker for other people, and bring people together, whatever it is that is their asset, that will become very clear.
Yeah.
And so I don't mean to say everyone needs an office with a door, but I think it's important if that's something that you need to be able to say that and express that. Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, employers are making reasonable adjustments, because obviously it's going to be a reasonable adjustment. You can't expect to build an office for everybody who has ADHD. Otherwise, I'm sure the landlord
would be happy.
The workplace might be a bit crowded.
No, but what you can do is you can allow them to get up and work in different spaces.
Yeah.
If they can't, if there's no office, so to speak, maybe there's a conference room they can go to do some work, or they can work outside, because a lot of people like me get a lot done at a coffee shop. You know, sometimes as long as you give them an assignment or whatever and they're able to get it done, if there's some flexibility there for them to move around, it doesn't have to be build them an office.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, what is it that will accommodate you so that you can get the work done in the least distracted way possible, or the most productive way for you, empowering way or whatever for you?
Okay. And in contrast to that, what would you say you have, what were the mistakes that you've made and you've learned from along your ADHD journey?
The mistake I made personally was staying at my, what I call a mission project, which was the company that I started.
Okay.
And that's where I make a distinction between life purpose, because we do talk about life purpose in my masterclass. That's a big piece of what this process is. It's also in the book. It allows you to go through that process quite easily. But mission was something, a definition I came upon when I ended up staying too long in a situation that became soul crushing for me. Yeah. Within my own company, I was the only ADHD person in my company, still undiagnosed, but after the diagnosis, it became clear why I was miserable. So there should have been a plan B for me. I should have had a plan B to get out of that company or find a way to sell off my, you know, to do whatever I needed to do to get out. Had I known in advance how important it would have been for me with my brain wiring.
Yeah.
I didn't know that at the time, but that was the most crushing disappointment of all.
Yeah.
The first part was in my 20s when I was doing jobs I hated and getting fired and thinking it was my fault, which I didn't do a great job, but it was because I hated the work. You know? Yeah. And that's really it. With ADHD, it's not you, it's the job fit, right? So now I laugh about it. I think it's hysterical. And thank goodness I didn't do well in those jobs, because I would have ended up staying longer than I should have. But yeah, so those are the main ones before my diagnosis, and then starting the other company, and then going back to doing the work that's aligned with my purpose a lot more. So
that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you've achieved so much. You've had this experience. You've had the negative experiences that you've talked about. Then how did you get to, you've changed the narrative for yourself and for everybody else by turning it around and saying, right, okay, this is how we are. This is who we are. This is what we need. I'm going to share this with everybody so you can get more out of life. It's just incredible. What are you?
Yes.
That's
it. Yeah.
What are you most proud of in your journey to get here?
Wow. I feel in a way that finding the right fit for me was a bit of luck. Not luck, but just... Because it was hard work. It was really hard getting through that master's degree program, and which I knew I had to have in order to do the work I wanted to do. What was the question?
What are you most proud of?
What am I most proud of? Gosh, I just am proud that I stuck it out and I'm still here and I'm way past retirement age, and I don't feel like once I want to retire at all, but I don't want to work full time either. So now my whole thing is the legacy, you know, leaving behind what other people can use to move forward in their lives. And that's the most important thing for me. That's what I'm really proud of, is that all these experiences actually, like you said, led me to finally doing the book that I should have done years ago, because I kept saying, why don't I, I should have been doing it years ago. I finally got sick of it not being there for me and for the people I worked with, and just took the time and did it and found the right team to help me. You need a team. You always need a team.
Can you give a quick summary of the book and how readers can get hold of a copy of it?
So the book is A Course for ADHD Adults and Teens, Unlock Your Career Path. Unlock in big words. And it's inspired by Richard Bowles' What Color Is Your Parachute? So it's a step-by-step process that is written. Somebody described it as the most ADHD-friendly book they ever read or ever used, because you can use it and read it. So it's like a course book and you can actually write in it. But yet it's very powerful because it's really a deep dive. It takes you deeper into who you are and what you want. And the idea is, what do I want? Answering that question, being able to actually answer that question.
Yeah.
So that's what it's about.
Brilliant. No, that's really good. And hopefully our listeners will get a copy of themselves. I know I'm sure they're certainly looking forward to reading it. Putting it
I want you
practice
in my class.
I'll happily attend. I think you're putting it into practice. It's like when people say to you, you need to get a planner. Like, well, I've got 5 planners. Which one do you want me to use? Because none of them bloody work because I don't use them. So having a planner is not going to help me, but I shall definitely make a good
effort. Here's one for you.
Like, oh, the unorganized planner. That sounds very much like me. And it's got pretty shapes
too.
And
this is what it looks like on the inside. It's like so basic. I haven't been using it either, but I started to use it. So I was closer to using it. It's so simple. Yeah. Everything's compartmentalized. Yeah. No, I don't use planners either. I get it.
Normally when people say it's simple, that's an encouraging thing. But I'm like, no, even if it's simple, then I'll feel that I'm letting myself down by not finding it simple. And then it goes into a little vicious cycle again.
Are you my doppelganger? I think we're twins or something.
I feel there's many a person like us out there in the world, and hopefully this conversation will reach them and help them, point them in the right direction towards your book and, you know, getting their career on track. Shel, it's been amazing talking to you. Like, I've genuinely enjoyed the conversation. Like, Thank you. Within the first 3 sentences, I identified with so much, and it brought a lot to light. Thank you again. And to our listeners out there, stay tuned for our next episode of Together Equal, Diversity Made Simple.